morning.
Good morning.
Warm welcome to you all. It's lovely to see you all, and to those who will be joining us on Zoom, hopefully. This morning's service has been put together for you by SPOT. Some of you have been asking what SPOT actually is, so I thought I'd tell you. Several years ago, our last minister, Michael Alderson, served for a year as president of the Wesleyan Reform Union of Churches, to which this church belongs. He spent many of his weekends visiting other WRU churches up and down the country, so we put together a small group of people to put services together to cover his Sundays away. The first meeting of the group took place in our living room. Marcus was between houses at the time and living with us. After the meeting, we came out into the hall and discovered a notice had been stuck to the door. It read something like, "Quiet, please. Meeting taking place of the services, preparation, and organisation team. SPOT. SPOT." And somehow, it's still SPOT. So now you know. Shall we come to our Lord in prayer? Come to God, who gathers us in. Come to God, who nurtures us like a father. Come to God, whose arms are open and waiting. Come to God, who welcomes us and forgives us. Come to God, who journeys with us. Come to God, who sees us as we really are and loves us anyway. Come, praise our loving, nurturing God. Amen. And now shall we join together and sing our opening hymn, number 560, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Thank you. Let us pray. As we gather to worship you, our Lord and Father, we ask you for our hearts and minds to be open to your word. Fill this place with your spirit and our souls with your peace. You walked on the earth, understood the broken world, and healed with your touch. We pray for all those who are suffering in any way at this time. Soothe their pain, calm their fears, surround them with your peace. In your mercy, restore them to health and be with them and their families during these difficult times. We pray that the light of Christ will shine out through us and that every song, prayer, and word will glorify and draw us closer in communion with you and each other. Fill us, Lord, with your powerful, life-changing presence. We ask for your love, guidance, and protection in everything we do. And we lift everyone here this morning into your divine love. May we go forward this week in the knowledge that you are beside us in all that we do. Now let us pray together as our Lord Jesus Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The reading this morning is taken from the Psalms. Psalm 139. You can find the reading on page 628 of the Church Bible. For the director of music, of David, a psalm. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become dark night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Thanks be to God for his word. We're now going to sing again, number 380 in Mission Praise, Jesus Stand Among Us.
I'm going to read a poem that is titled You're Always There For Me by Shabam Shahi. I think that's how you say it. When the world comes crashing in and chaos rules my mind, I turn my heart to you, Lord, and pure, sweet peace I find. You lift me out of trouble. You comfort me in pain. You nourish, heal, and clean me like cool, refreshing rain. In times of joy and bliss, when things are going right, you lift me even higher and fill me with delight. You listen to my prayer. You hear my every plea. I'm safe because I know you're always there for me. We'll now sing hymn number 882, Lord of All Hopefulness.
Thank you. This poem is called God's Omnipresence, and it's by Reverend Dean Beattie. Search me, O God, and know all my heart. Thou knowest my being in every part. Nothing is hid from thy all-seeing eye. Thou compassest my path wherever it lie. Thou knowest the words that spring from my tongue, inside and out, however far flung. If my bed were in hell, thou would be there, or ascend into heaven, I'm still in thy care. If I were to dwell in the depths of the sea, or the wings of the morning, there wilt thou be. If I should say, the darkness will hide, surely thy presence is there by my side. Darkness and light are the same unto thee. Wherever I go, Lord, thou wilt see me. There is no place beyond thy scope. Therefore in thee do I always have hope.
We're going to have a time of intercession now, and prayer is talking to God and listening to him and trusting that he will hear and answer our prayers according to his will. I'd like to read a few verses from Philippians chapter 4 for our encouragement. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I just want us to just have a minute of complete silence and just ask God to give us his peace as we meet in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that you're the one who gives peace. Thank you that you know our needs before we ask. But you want us to come to you. And so we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and ask that you will hear and answer our prayers. Open our hearts, Lord, that we might understand and trust you to give us the answers that are according to your will. First of all, Lord, we want to pray for this church. Thank you, Lord, for every person here this morning. We pray, Lord, for Sharon, as she's away today, and ask that you'll be with her where she is. And we pray for the time to come when she's going to have a sabbatical, that, Lord, you'll bless her, that you'll encourage her, that you'll be with her, and that you'll refresh her, and that you'll touch her again by your Spirit. And we pray, Lord, for the church here while she's away, that, Lord, you will enable and bless and keep us together as a group, being able to trust you, to worship you, and to see you glorified here in this place and in this community. Pray, Lord, for the sick folk, Lord. There are many who are not here today for various reasons, and we ask that, Lord, you will be with them where they are, either on Zoom or in hospital or just at home. Lord, be their strength, their encouragement, and their peace today. Lord, we pray for the Hope Project that we've been able to support. We thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that have come in. And we pray that as the work goes ahead, that you will bless those families and the people working there just to help people and to strengthen them and to encourage them in their lives that are very hard sometimes. We pray for Youth for Christ, Lord, and for Erica and all the team there. Thank you for Erica and for all that she does reaching out into schools. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'll be with her at this time of Lent
when she needs. She's got lots of schools meetings and many, many things to do. And we pray that, Lord, you'll give her the support she needs, and where she needs extra help, we pray that'll be forthcoming. Thank you, Lord, for her. We pray you'll bless her and all the work that she does in the schools, and that for each one of the children that hears your word, we pray, Lord, that you'll draw near to them, speak to them, and bless them and bring them to yourself. In Jesus' name. And then, Lord, our world is in such a turmoil and there is so much conflict. Father God, thank you that you know. Thank you that you care. Thank you that you understand. And we pray, Lord, for the many areas of conflict. We pray for the families separated. We pray for the children. We pray for those who know and love you and are probably wondering what on earth is going on. And we ask, Lord, that each one might be able to find their hope in you. We thank you, Lord, for the many, many groups that are working in different areas of the world to bring peace, to bring encouragement, to bring food, to bring support, and to bring to people the knowledge of your love. Lord, we don't hear about them, but we pray that you'll strengthen them and encourage them. And Lord, encourage their hearts today, seeing you working in hearts and in lives. We pray, Lord, for the conflict in Gaza, in Israel, and in Lebanon, in Ukraine and Russia. We pray, Lord, for those who wield power, that, Lord, you will work in their hearts and somehow help them to see what is right and bring peace. We pray for President Trump, Minister Zelensky, and President Putin. And Lord, for the leaders of our own country, that Lord, as they're involved in so many different ways, that Lord, you will raise up men of integrity, intelligence, and trust and justice. And Lord, that you'll empower them to do your will and bring peace in our world. We pray for the wars in Congo, in Sudan, for the children suffering, for all that's going on there, Lord. We ask you that somehow, in your mercy, you'll draw near. And we especially pray for the churches and the ministers there who are seeking to help, and the aid groups. Lord, be with them and encourage them and bless them today. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who hears and answers prayer, and that you say that, Lord, we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. Thank you, Lord, for your care, for your love, for your mercy. And thank you that you will hear and answer prayer, because we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us. Amen. The next hymn we're going to sing is 133, Father, I place into your hands the things I cannot do.
Thank you.
Father's Love Letter is a compilation of paraphrased Bible verses from Genesis to Revelation, presented in the form of a love letter from God to you. This simple message of love has been experienced by millions of people around the world in over 125 language translations. And today I thought I'd share it with you. My dear child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you've suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus, for in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and I will always be Father. My question is, will you be my son, child? I am waiting for you. With love, your Father, Almighty God. And we'll sing now hymn 181, God Forgave My Sin.
Well, it was the last thing I expected. My dad owned a factory in the Yorkshire Dales, and I worked there with him and my older brother, working my way up, learning the business, with the expectation of inheriting it when the time came. But it bored me. I craved the bright lights and the city life. I couldn't bear the thought of being in the Dales for the rest of my life. I went to Dad and said, could I have my inheritance now and go off and do my own thing? Well, I could tell he was disappointed, but he wrote me out a cheque straight away and I was off. I headed down south to London and it was everything I imagined. Bright lights, nightclubs. It was great. And I made friends. I had all the gear, designed clothes, fast cars. I had a penthouse flat. The parties we had. In the summer, I rented a villa in the south of France. And we all went down. Parties on the beach. Drugs, of course. Well, it was the 60s. And we were young, and I was at the centre of it all, right there, me and my chequebook. It didn't last, of course. couldn't last. The money ran out. The car went first. No more trips out of town on summer evenings with the roof down and a pretty girl by my side. Then the designer clothes, the shoes and the watches, and the villa in the south of France. I did suggest we all went camping in the New Forest. It would be fun. They laughed in my face. Then the penthouse flat. I took a bedsit in a cheaper area, but no one wanted to come to party there, and there wasn't room anyway. Suddenly, I was on my own. Billy no mates me. Besides, there was a new rich young heiress in town, and everyone flocked around like bees round a honeypot. And I was on the street. There are hostels, of course, but they don't always have a bed. And then there's nothing for it but a cardboard box in a doorway. You can get out-of-date food from the supermarket at the end of the day, but it's not what I was used to. One night I was crouched in my doorway eating a slightly dodgy egg sandwich when it came to me. The people working for my dad's factory were better off than me. They were paid a decent wage, had warm, snug homes, food on the table. What was I thinking? Obviously, Dad wouldn't regard me as an heir anymore, but perhaps he would let me work for him. I would go home, I would tell him I was sorry, explain that I knew things could never be the same. I couldn't expect to take up my place again, but I could work for him. Could I work my way from the bottom and perhaps regain a little bit of his respect? I hitched my way back up the motorway. The last lift dropped me in the village in the middle of the dale. I could see Dad's house, perched high on its hill, all alone with no neighbours, lights shining out across the valley. I trudged up the steep rutted track, practicing what I was going to say to him. Dad, really, I'm sorry. I know I can't expect to be called your child, but you can forgive me and let me work for you in the factory. As I reached the last steep bit of the track, I looked up, and there he was, running down the hill to meet me. I thought he's going to break his neck, silly old thing. But he didn't. He reached me, flung his arms around me, hugged me and kissed me. I said, Dad, I'm really sorry. I know I can't expect to be called your child. And I didn't get any further. No, he said, we thought you were dead and you're alive. We thought you were lost and you've been found. We must celebrate. And he led me up the track, calling to everyone that I was home. The house can be seen for miles. The party lights and the bonfire shone out like a beacon, and soon everyone knew I was home, and they all came to help us celebrate. Except my brother. He was upset, of course. He said to Dad that he'd always been there, working hard in the factory, supporting Dad in everything, and never had there been a party for him. Dad said my brother didn't get it. Everything Dad had was his, always had been, always would be. But I had been dead and had come alive again. I'd been lost and was found. They had to celebrate. I tell you, it was the last thing I expected.
And now we're going to sing our last hymn, number 501, O Jesus, I Have Promised. That's a really special hymn for me. We sang it at my confirmation. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the blessing of church family, for the ministry of love and hope that has been shared between us. Thank you for your everlasting promises, for pouring your truth and light into every aspect of our lives. Help us take this light out into the darkness and shine with your grace and peace. Amen. I've just got a couple of notices if you'd like to sit down for a moment. First of all, thank you all for coming. We hope you enjoyed the service we put together for you. If anyone would like to read again the Father's love letter, there are copies at the back and in the hall for you to take home. Thank you to everyone who took part in the service, and special thanks to Debbie who put it all together for us. Next Sunday, Sharon will be back and taking the service for us, and I've been asked to remind you that the clocks change next weekend. Spring forward.